This is Northland One Friday Sports.
Hi, good evening. Welcome to Northland One's Friday Sport, the first edition of 2014. Happy New Year to all of our listeners, where in the next 60 minutes, we'll bring you everything you need for a complete weekend of sporting action ahead. We'll look back at Wednesday's dramatic victory at Tannadice and ahead to Sunday's trip to Rugby Park, right here on the North East number one for sport across the region.
This is Friday Sport on Northland One, the best preview of the weekend sport action across the North East of Scotland and beyond.
This is Friday Sport on Northland One, and to get us off to a flyer, let's relive a great start to 2014 at Tannadice.
Robson now plays it up to the edge of the penalty box.
Penalty!
McGuinness, and it's a penalty.
Andrew Robertson, he's saying that it hit him in the chest, but it looked as though it hit him in the arm.
Barry Robson now, can he draw Aberdeen level? Starts his run, hits it left-footed, into the net it goes. Beautiful penalty kick by Barry Robson. The 4,000 Aberdeen fans to my left are in ecstasy. Thoroughly deserved equaliser for the Dons. 19 minutes played here in the second half at Tannadice. Dundee United 1, Aberdeen 1.
Absolutely justified and exactly what the Dons deserved after what's been some pretty poor decision making from the referee, and also a goal, you've got to say, against the run of play as far as I'm concerned. So let's go on and win this now. Well, another opportunity. Robson with the free kick. Over it comes, and it's headed behind, and it's...
Yes!
Peter Pollard!
Oh, you beauty!
With the header! And in the final minute, here at Tannadice,
wow.
Dundee United 1, Aberdeen 2.
Well, it was Barry Robson's free kick that came in. I think it took a deflection. Chesniak didn't manage to hold on to it. It popped up, and there was Peter Pollard diving in at the back post to head in for what is the most richly deserved goal of the day, I think, from an Aberdeen player. It's fifth of the season. What a time to get the goal. Now, lads, just hang on, and it'll be a famous victory down here to start 2014 in the most perfect fashion.
Yeah, perfect fashion indeed. Good evening. This is Northland One's Friday Sport. I'm Dave McDermott, joined in the studio by Dave Galloway and Andrew Shiney. Good evening, guys.
Good evening, Dave.
Good evening, Dave.
Beard's coming on nicely. We always have a wee check into that.
Yeah, getting ticklish now.
Yes, indeed.
Looking good, actually. We're looking good.
Well,
I'm still not convinced by this blonde that you're claiming you're getting growing through.
It must be blonde. It can't be anything else.
Is that a euphemism for grey?
It's the 2014 grey.
No, not
blonde is the new grey.
But first of all, guys, Wednesday, what a start to 2014 for the fans who, Tony made the point, which we'll hear later on, about just how much they mean to the side, particularly in games like that away from home.
Yeah, I mean, goodness me, I'm coming out in goosebumps just listening to the commentary again. But I think that performance, Andrew, it ticked all the boxes for the Dons, didn't it?
It did. I have to admit, I'm a little embarrassed at hearing myself screaming, "You dancer and your beauty!"
When at least
the
you
two
didn't
goals
swear.
Went in. No, I didn't swear. Of course, I didn't. I'm a consummate professional.
Of course.
But I think the Dons fan in me came out a little bit there, as you know. Did it
a little bit,
just a little bit,
as it did further along the gantry, because there was a number of people with Aberdeen leanings who were working for the media that day who were all celebrating big style.
Mr. Gordon,
absolutely. Poor Jim Spence was very much in the minority, but a fantastic win for Aberdeen, and in the manner of the victory, you know, going behind against the run of play. And let's just put on record, fair credit to Jamie Langfield for going on Twitter and holding his hands up and saying, "Thanks to the rest of the guys for bailing me out," because he made the mistake at the corner kick, came to try and get it, didn't. It more or less just hit John Souter and went into an unguarded net. So that was the Dons behind. But I think the more you see that penalty incident, you see the way Andrew Robertson moves his arm towards the ball, it's obvious that the referee's going to see that as a penalty. It may well have hit him in the chest, but he made the movement with his arm towards the ball. That's where the penalty was given. And despite Chesniak pointing to Barry Robson, "Stick it in my top right-hand corner, go on, right-hand corner.
Okay, then.
And he had to move... replaced the ball in the spot, remember, because it blew off because the conditions were horrendous. He showed all his experience and rammed it straight into the top right-hand corner. But then for Peter Pollard to get the winner, I thought was, you know, justice, because he he almost waged a one-man war against Chesniak during the game. He forced four or five excellent saves out of him. And when I spoke to Peter afterwards, he said, you know, I wish I'd maybe mishit one of those because it might have gone in. He says, I caught everything absolutely flush and the keeper saved everything. He made a fantastic save from Niall McGinn as well. But, you know, if Aberdeen hadn't won that game, people would have been saying, oh, that's United back on an even keel and Aberdeen are maybe not as good as they think they are. But Aberdeen totally dominated that game and there was only one winner. United, they've got good players. There's no question at all about that. We said in commentary on numerous occasions this match could go either way, you know, because both sides attacked as much as they possibly could in what were horrendous conditions. I have to disagree with Jackie McNamara. I thought the quality on show was actually pretty good, given all the circumstances. But, you know, that was a big win for the Dons without any question. But isn't it great when you get one just before the end of the match? And, as I say, fantastic for Peter Pollitt to keep that scoring run going despite all the strong-arm tactics that were employed against him. For people to even consider that Peter Pollitt is a soft touch now is absolutely ludicrous. What is it, the nickname in the dressing room?
The Warrior? The Warrior, yeah. I did pre-warn him that it was going to be...
Was it Tony Dock that gave him that one?
Tony was saying to the guys, so what was his nickname before? And Tony said, well, not the Warrior.
Not the Warrior.
Probably started with a P, just like his initials, but I thought it just showed how much Peter Pollitt has come on since the beginning of the season. He's now one of the top players in Scotland and certainly overshone the talent on show in tangerine colours.
And I think we're all quite happy, and I think everybody at the club is quite happy for United to receive all the profile for the youngsters, and we can just work away below the radar. And as I say, Wednesday, it showed that we've got kids that are every bit as good as the ones... On view from Tannadice. So,
yeah, absolutely.
And I think the big thing was that we had the experience in the correct places. I thought Willow Flood was absolutely immense.
Would
I get his name
right?
Close, but no cigar.
Careful. And listen to that one again. I'll edit it out.
And Barry was just Barry.
Yeah, he certainly was.
But, you know, and let's not forget Ryan Jack, who, despite being a youngster, plays with all the aplomb of a veteran, like the two guys that are alongside him in midfield. That's where the game was won and lost, I thought.
Yeah, Willow Flood, I have to say, you know, he was walking a bit of a tightrope, wasn't he, after he got booked, but that did not stop his approach or his commitment to the game at all. He was still, you know, going charging into the tackles and just, you know, leading by example, wasn't he?
Running the show for most
Fantastic,
of that 90 minutes.
Yeah.
And, of course, today, the first signing of the year when defender Alan Tait joined earlier on today on loan from Swansea City. And the gaffer, Derek McInnes, says Tate's a great addition to his squad.
We've got so many important games in the month of January, and we've got to make sure that we're on the front foot in terms of the recruitment. And we've brought Alan in. I think Alan will be a great addition to us. He brings that level of experience and know-how. And I think in the second half of the season will be vital to us, you know, and real flexibility. And someone who's been used to winning things in his career and achieving so much, so glad to have him on board.
And let's hear now from the Dons' latest signing. He says he's impressed with Derek McInnes' vision for the club.
We said about the league and going well in the league, and obviously the cup semi-final, sorry, and a good chance for the club to get into Europe. And he's sort of sold me on the way he wants to play football and play good football. So that was it, really. I mean, nothing else needed to be said. It was all football related. I mean, it's got nothing else to do with where it is, which I know he said put a few people off or whatever. That's irrelevant. It's all about the football.
What do you make of the setup here at Pittodrie and the potential of the club?
Yeah, it's good. Obviously, it's pretty similar to Swansea in the way it's the only club here in terms of how far it is to sort of the next city and things like that. So you can see the potential is there. It's a big enough city. I'm sure if the club does start to improve even more compared to what it has last year, the fans, in terms of attendance, are going to come back and more than what they are now.
What can you bring to the plate then?
It's one that I don't really like talking about myself, but hopefully just experience and know-how and how to win games, and I'll let other people sort of judge me from that, really.
Another one under the radar a bit. Andrew?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, we had to do a wee bit of hunting around to find his credentials, but he came through the Manchester United youth system, and I noticed he won the Jimmy Murphy Young Player of the Year Award back in, I think it was 2000, 2001. So, you know, obviously a very good prospect at a young age. Possibly didn't get the chance at United because they had big money signings playing in central defence. So don't judge the fact that he didn't play for Manchester United and say, oh, well, he wasn't up to much. He played a lot of games for Swansea.
284, I think.
Something like that. And he's been on loan at Leeds and at Yeovil. So he's got bags of experience, can play anywhere across the back four. And hopefully if Michael Hector does manage to come back up from Reading after Sunday, it just bolsters the defensive options that Derek has got.
And, you know, that experience with the youngsters, that's what we've been talking about. It's another older head, but there's plenty of youngsters there. It's a good blend, Dave.
Yeah, it's all about getting the blend right. Exactly. That was exactly what I was about to say. So credit to the management team for, you know, picking the right guys to, you know, really bring the youngsters through. And first impression of the new signing, I think he'll be just the guy to, you know, continue the good work with the youngsters and help bring out the best in them.
Okay, let's hope so. Time to take a break. You're listening to Friday Sport here at North Sound 1. And after the break, we'll be looking ahead to Sunday's visit to Kilmarnock.
North Sound 1 with the best preview of the weekend sports action from across the northeast of Scotland and beyond. This is Friday Sport.
It is Friday Sport indeed, 19 minutes past 6 o'clock. Kilmarnock away on Sunday for the Dons. Here's assistant manager Tony Docherty looking ahead to that one.
We've won more games than the team won last season, so that's pleasing. But all we can focus on is the team we've got. You know, whatever's happened in the past. We just need to focus on making sure we've got a winning team and we're preparing our team to try and win every game. And that's what we're doing, and we'll see where that takes us. We'll never, privately, we'll maybe get things, but we're not putting any targets out there. It's just taking it game by game. And we've got the boys in preparing for the Kilmarnock game, which is the next game we meet. And we just need to keep going in that way, see where it takes us.
There should be a big support again on Sunday away to Kilmarnock. What sort of game can you expect from them?
Well, Kilmarnock are a team that they're doing well just now. They've won three out of their last six. Their last home game, they beat Partick Thistle, who are a team that are doing well at the moment. And they've got a striker in Boyd who scored 11 goals now. So they're a team that we need to, as I said earlier on, we need to focus all our energies on that and make sure that we're right in every area of the pitch.
And we'll hear from the captain about Sunday's game. Kilmarnock, they played yesterday, Dave. And I was just saying to a few people this week that at this time of year where the games have been coming thick and fast, an extra 24 hours recovery, that potentially could make it, because again we are very fit side, but that just that extra 24 hours could be significant.
Yeah, that certainly could make a difference, Dave. But we have to say, you know, Kilmarnock have been in very good form of late as well. They've got a similar record to Aberdeen's over the last few games, and you know, they'll be really tough. And a certain Mr. Boyd, well, you know, you'll have to keep a very close eye on him on Sunday.
Well, we saw yesterday how potent he can be. It looked as though the game against St Mirren down at Rugby Park was heading for a share of the spoils, but in stoppage time, up he popped. And again, once he's in a position like that, he very rarely misses.
Well, he actually did have a couple of misses yesterday. He missed one good one where he did well to create space in the box for himself and then fired it over the top. But you know what you get with Chris Boyd. Even though he'd have been disappointed at missing that one, the next chance that comes along, he's doubly determined and doubly likely to stick it in the back of the net. And that's what happened. But, you know, Chris Boyd is almost a one-man scoring machine for Kilmarnock. He scored half their goals this term. And Chris Johnston, the little winger, is the next highest scorer with three. Boyd's got a dozen. But I don't think the Aberdeen defence will be overly worried because they've handled most strikers with big reputations quite comfortably this season. But looking at Killie's home record, you know, they've won four, lost five and drawn one, and it's almost a mirror image of the table, because the teams that they've beaten are the four teams at the bottom of the table: Ross County, Hearts, Partick and St Mirren. They've drawn with St Johnstone, who are just above them in the table, and then the sides in the top six, they've lost all of them when they've played them at Rugby Park. So they've got that monkey to get off their back if they're going to win against Aberdeen. But getting back to the fitness thing, it was interesting hearing Johnny Hayes saying after the Dundee United game, you know, how full of praise everyone is at Pittodrie of Graham Kirk. He's done a fantastic job in making sure that everybody's fitness levels return to sort of full tank level as quickly as possible after every game. And, you know, the work that he's done is noticeable in the team being so fit, because we saw it on Wednesday night once again. You know, there was only one team in it for the last 20 minutes.
And that was against a side...
Against a young, fit side.
Yeah, and also one that had rested more than half their team for that game.
Exactly. So, I mean, the Dons haven't really rested anyone. I mean, Russell and Barry Robson sat out the Ross County game, although Barry came on for a little cameo appearance. But, you know, most of the guys have played all the games, but they're showing no signs of fatigue at all, which is testimony, as I say, to the great work that Graham Kirk is doing.
OK, we've still got the team lineup, our thoughts as to what that will be, and also predictions and our one to watch. But before that, let's hear from Russell Anderson. And the Dons skipper says it's vital to maintain momentum.
Well, it's about consistency now. It's about doing it again. And I think over the course of the season, we have been consistent, but we're only halfway through it. And you don't really get anything for how the league looks at this moment in time. It's what happens when the season finishes in May. So we have to be consistent. We have to go to the next game and try and win that one, which will be equally as hard a game against Kilmarnock down there. But yeah, that's the key word at the moment, is consistency, just trying to replicate it week in, week out.
Just looking at Sunday, Russell, how much are you looking forward to facing up to a certain Mr. Boyd?
Oh, Boyd, he's, I think everyone knows how good a finisher he is. He's had a really good career. He maybe took a little bit of time to come back. When we played in the first game of the season, he'd just signed for Kilmarnock, came off the bench and scored against us. So we don't need to be told how clinical and good a finisher he is. We'll have to definitely keep a close eye on him on Sunday.
Russell Anderson there, and we should take a decent crowd down, you'd think. Most people, although a lot of folk were back at work today, it's almost, for a lot of people, it's the last day of the festive break.
It is. It's maybe a slightly unfortunate on Sunday rather than Saturday, but it gives us that extra 24 hours recovery time, as you mentioned earlier. But yeah, and there's a lot of Aberdeen fans in the Central Belt, yeah, and those numbers will be gathering. You know, they'll be increasing all the time because of the fact that the team's playing so well. So I would anticipate that we'll see a good turnout of Dons fans. Not the near 4,000 that we saw at Tannadice, which I noticed was more than Chelsea took to Southampton, more than Everton took to wherever they were. You know, we were well up there in terms of British travelling supports on New Year's Day. But I would think we'd be into four figures down at Rugby Park, which will make a change, because so often you see in the television the highlights, the goal away to your right is so sparsely populated. It will be different on Sunday, I'm sure of that.
I think it helps as well that it's a 3 o'clock kickoff. Had it been like a 12 noon kickoff or something daft like that, then yeah, there might not have been that many fans going down. But 3 o'clock kickoff, yeah, I think we'll have a very healthy support.
Yeah, fingers crossed. So let's start with you, Andrew, in terms of the team that you think Derek will go with on Sunday.
Absolutely the same as he went with on Wednesday. Langfield, Hector, Anderson, Reynolds, Hayes, Jack, Flood, Robson, McGinn, Pollitt and Vernon. See no reason whatsoever to change it.
Dave?
I have to concur with Andrew. I've got exactly the same team written down as well.
So have I.
You know, if it ain't broken, don't fix it.
So there's no chance of it being the same team then, given we've all three of us gone for that.
Well, I mean, some folk will think, well, Alan Tait, is he going to come in? But his last game was back in August against Birmingham in the Capital One Cup, so he's not match fit the same as the guys are that are currently occupying the shirts.
And also Michael Hector, it is his last game. You would expect him to, Derek, to use him for all the time we've got him.
Yeah, absolutely. And as we've all said, you know, it ain't broke, so why try and fix it?
Man to watch?
For me, Michael Hector. He'll be aiming to go out on a bang, on the assumption that this will be his last game. He'll be aiming to go out on a bang. He's been very successful in his loan spell. A real hero with the fans. You know, they love him. They love his style. And, you know, he'll be looking to maybe get his name on the score sheet, or put in a barnstorming performance.
Andrew?
I'm going to go for Johnny Hayes because I think he's been absolutely excellent as a stand-in left-back, and it hasn't curbed his attacking instincts either because he's got himself forward quite a lot. And when you think that he was up against Gary Mackay-Stephen on occasions at Tannadice, you know, never once did Mackay-Stephen run past him. But he's quick, Johnny Hayes, and we've all commented in commentary, it's as though he takes off from a stepladder when he goes in for a header because he's beating guys who are much taller
no right
than him.
To, yeah.
Absolutely. So I think Johnny, and if Kilmarnock think that because he's deployed at left back that he's not going to be an attacking threat and take their eye off him in that respect, they could be made to come to pay for that.
Okay, I've gone for my one to watch, Scott Ferland, because I think his work rate has been superb recently, and you know, I think what he needs now is a goal to go with that, because that's his prime objective, obviously, is to be a goal scorer. And I've also gone for 2-0.
Oh, you're getting your win in first, are you?
Yes.
well, it's exactly the same as I'm going for.
Same team, same.
Well, I'm going to beg to differ. I'm going for a 2-goal winning margin, but I'm going to go for a 3-1 victory for Aberdeen.
Okay, so not a shutout for Dave. Well, never mind.
Or for Jamie.
Sorry, Jamie.
Yeah, indeed. Right, we'll take another break, and after that break, we'll look ahead to the rest of the Premiership games. Still to come, of course, we've got the FA Cup this weekend, and we'll also hear from Jim McAnally.
North Sound 1. This is Friday Sport with John Mellis, Dave McDermott and Dave Galloway.
Yeah, well, tonight John's having an extended festive break. Andrew is in for John, although John is also taking part in Beards for Bairns. We should point out we haven't seen his effort for a while, have we, boys?
Is that why he's off?
It could be. He's in hiding.
He's too ashamed.
He's getting a facial hair transplant.
I'm not coming out.
Yes, well, mind you, we're going that way as well, I think.
Yeah, we can't exactly talk.
Okay, let's have a wee look at the other games in the Premiership. Lunchtime kickoff tomorrow. Motherwell take on Inverness Cali Thistle at Fir Park. There is a pitch inspection being called for 8 o'clock, but precautionary, that is all it is for. The game is expected to go ahead. Cali boss John Hughes is desperate to stop the current rot.
Not carrying any luck at this moment in time, so, but you know, that's the way it goes, and that's part and parcel of football. You'll get that up and down the country and injuries and suspensions. What we need to do is, you know, we need to roll our sleeves up, go to Motherwell and make sure they know they've been in a game.
John,
sorry. they'll freeze if they roll their sleeves up. That's a difficult one because, again, it's good from Aberdeen point of view, Dave, the fact that two teams still round about us are playing each other, and hopefully, I mean, whilst we would possibly like a share of the spoils or even an away win, but how do you see that one going?
Yeah, well, I can see that one being a score draw, maybe 1-1, and that would just be ideal for the Dons, wouldn't it?
It certainly would. The other Premiership game tomorrow features Ross County and St Johnston. County boss Derek Adams knows where the main danger is likely to come from.
They've got a striker in Stevie May who's been excellent this season, a revelation for them. You can see why a number of teams are looking at him, but they've got good experience throughout the squad, and they'll be hurting, obviously, after the Motherwell defeat.
Well, they've Mustafi, who started against us and did not impress one iota, he's been allowed to go back to his parent club, Grasshoppers of Zurich, and they've been fairly active in the transfer market.
Well,
to Ross County.
They've taken in three players on loan. Jordan Slew, who we knew about, he played against Ross County, against Cali Thistle, rather, ex-Blackburn Rovers player who came on the recommendation of Eric Black. Evangelos Economou has returned. He was there last season, of course. And Michael Tidzer has come up from Rotherham, one-time Morton player, of course. Player who showed a great deal of promise at Morton, sort of come off the radar a wee bit down at Rotherham, and has the chance to shine once again. And, you know, I think the fact that they won the Highland Derby is going to be a massive lift for Ross County, because I must admit, they looked awful against us. I mean, despite what Derek had to say after the game, saying, you know, oh, I was happy the way we contained Aberdeen. It was only a free kick that beat us. My keeper had no saves to make, forgetting the fact that he made a great save from Scott Vernon's penalty.
Yes. But selective memory.
Yeah, but they were never at the races. And the thing that you always struck you about Ross County was that they worked hard for each other, and they gave you a really hard game, and they were dangerous at set pieces, and they were always likely to sneak something, but they never looked like that at Pittodrie. So I think getting the Derby win will have hopefully shaken them out of that lethargy. And St Johnstone, not great travellers, so I fancy Ross County just to sneak that one.
Okay, so a Ross County win there. Sunday lunchtime features St Mirren and Celtic, with the visitors currently being linked with a move for Scotland striker Stephen Fletcher.
He's a very expensive player, isn't he? So it's just speculation. I can't say any more than that. Player that, you know, I think most teams in Britain would like. Affordability might be a problem for us, though.
I think he's absolutely spot on, Neil Lennon, there. Affordability, I would think, would be a problem because maybe there is something in it, but it would seem an unlikely win for Celtic.
Yeah, well, you know, he joined from Wolves for £14 million back in August 2012. The figure that's being bandied about that he may be available for is £6 million, and apparently Celtic are not averse to paying £6 million for one player. But that would be a real statement of intent, wouldn't it, if they could get somebody of Stephen Fletcher's calibre.
The thing is, as well as the £6 million, you've got, you know, wages.
Yeah.
He's probably in about 30, 40 grand a week, mm-hmm. if not more, down at Sunderland. And you would think that he's going to be wanting similar kind of wages. Mm. And with Celtic not having the amount of money that they got from the Champions League as they had in previous years, I think it's a wee shot in the dark, that one.
And also, no European football this season to look forward to. It would take a pretty sweet talker to persuade him, I would have thought, to come. But how do you see that one going on Sunday, St Mirren and Celtic?
I can't see anything other than a solid Celtic win. I don't think they'll win by a barrel load because St Mirren are determined and they'll battle and scrap hard, but I can see Celtic winning 2-0.
OK, at Tannadice on Sunday, it's Dundee United against Hibs. Tangerines boss Jackie McNamara.
It's no doubt about that. When you have look at the league form, is that three winning in a bounce? I can't remember when last time Hibs done that, so it's clearly improvement on that side. Is sort of the defence, and we score on set pieces, and little details we improve.
I thought Jackie McNamara just wrote comedy scripts and didn't do comedy voices.
He was doing his best Guillaume Boozlin impression there.
That was Guillaume Boozlin, the Hibs the Hibs legend. And while I'm finding Jackie McNamara, Andrew, how do you see that one going?
I think it's going to be a very tough game for Dundee United because Hibs are quite a physical side, and they'll have seen the way that St Mirren, St Johnstone and Aberdeen have tackled the games against United, where they closed all the flair players down very quickly, and Terry Butcher, I'm sure, will have done similar homework. So I don't see United managing to break this poor run. They might manage to get a draw because Hibs aren't renowned as being, you know, free-flowing and great goal scorers, but it wouldn't surprise me if Hibs were to nick it and it would be the result of a set piece.
OK, well, here is Jackie in a more normal voice.
Thoughts are we could come and win it again. We're at home. I think we need to play a lot better than we did. We need to pass the ball a lot better. You know, obviously we're hurting at the moment, but we'll dust ourselves down and get ready for Sunday.
Bottom of the table, Hearts. They're at home to Partick Thistle. Ex-Tynecastle favourite Gary Mackay says the game is like a cup final for the Jambos.
Sunday becomes our cup final. You know, we've got a massive game against Inverness on the 2nd of February in a cup tie, but Sunday against Partick Thistle, a club who seem to be floundering slightly, probably the only club that we could probably realistically catch. So Sunday is a massive, massive game for Hearts and Midlothian going forward.
Well, that's a nice incentive for Alan Archibald, who knows that the Jags need to start turning things around.
It's a must now that the four teams round about is the ones we've got coming up. We have to take points from them, especially after such a bad run that we've been on. So we have to cut out the mistakes and individual errors and put in a right good team performance, which we did at Parkhead.
Dave, how do you see that one going?
I can see Hearts winning that one, maybe sneaking that one by 1-0. Partick Thistle, for all their great football, they've had no cutting edge really this season. You know, they've played football in the right manner, and rightly they have been praised for the way that they've knocked the ball about, but they've been toothless in attack, haven't they?
Yeah, it's an interesting one, though. I think it's a bit ingenuous for Gary Mackay to say Partick Thistle the only team that they can catch.
Well, they can catch Ross County more easily because County have a point less than Partick at the moment. But I think it's the fact that, you know, Hearts haven't won since goodness knows when, nor have Partick Thistle. They're the two sides going into matches this weekend with the worst current form records. And I think what he really means is that they're the side we most fancy playing against at the moment, because they're in every bit as bad a position as we are. I know what Dave's saying, you know, Partick have played some pretty football, but that's... it's far too late now for that kind of thing. Now's the time that you've got to start rolling your sleeves up, digging out results. I mean, you look at Partick's home record, they've only scored 4 goals at home in 9 games, and they haven't won any of them. And away from home, OK, they've won 3 and drawn a couple, but, you know, their main problem is in attack. 15 goals in 19 games tells its own story, but they've got to tighten up defensively. When you see some of the goals that they let in, they're schoolboy errors. So Alan Archibald, as a central defender, I'm sure will be drumming into his players the need to get back to basics and start digging out some victories.
90 minutes to 7, time for another break on North Sound 1's Friday Sport.
North Sound 1. This is Friday Sport with John Mellis, Dave McDermott and Dave Galloway.
No game for Peterhead this weekend, but yesterday they came from behind to see off local rivals Elgin City 2-1, and they hold a 5-point lead at the top of League 2. Manager Jim McAnally delighted to start the year on a high.
It must have been for neutrals. It was a decent game to watch, very end-to-end. Both teams having a go, and, you know, I just when we lost Rory, I think probably a lot of people thought our chance had went, but Andy Rogers is equally as good a player. And has a wee bit of class at the end, puts it in for Jamie to get in and score the goal. And again, Jamie was one of the ones we spoke to at half time, him and Gilly, to get themselves in the box and no come and try and take part in the game as much as they were, you know. So it's a great result, because Elgin is a decent team. If you look at their team, Wyness, Gunn, Sutherland, I mean, I don't think that guy should be playing at this level, but he is. And you know, the wee boy Urquhart that came from Aberdeen, they're good players, and it ended the day a great result, and to go 16 points clear of them makes me very happy.
In the Highland League, tomorrow sees part 2 of the festive doubleheader, with Devonvale looking to do the double over Turriff United, whom they beat 4-0 away from home last weekend. Ahead of the home clash, manager Charlie Charlesworth has been speaking to SHFL TV. He's looking for his men to make it 6 wins in a row.
Football's all about winning games, isn't it? And making sure everything's good in the league. That's done us a world of good with league position today. We've just got to keep plugging away. You know, we've had our down moments as well against teams, you know, and obviously the one that comes straight to light is obviously the Forest game, when questions are asked of me and my management team and then the team itself, you know. But I think since then, you know, I've got to praise the lads in the way they've, you know, turned things around for themselves and for me to a certain extent. And now we just, confidence is a huge thing, you know, and the balance of the team's good. There's some youngsters out there and they'll just run all day for you, you know, and we've got the right energy and we've got the right commitment and we've got the right players in the right places at the moment.
Dave has the rest of the Highland League.
Yeah, it's Cove Rangers versus Fraser. But at Cove, were in a commanding 2-0 half-time lead at Bellesley last weekend before the game was abandoned due to waterlogging. The Highland League champions welcome back forwards Jamie Lennox, Johnny Smith and Jamie McLachlan to the squad. It's Forest Mechanics up against Nairn County. Forest will aim to get revenge for a 3-1 reverse at Station Park last week. However, manager Charlie Rowley must make do without left-back Paul Smith, who has a knee injury. However, Scott Moore and Ross McPherson are available once again. A waterlogged pitch means there will be no play between Fort William and Clackenacudden. That one is off. That was postponed earlier on today. It's Inverurie Locos against Fermartin United. Locos are without David Ross and Scott Begg, who are on holiday, while Andy Hunter remains out with a bout of glandular fever. However, defender Ryan Broadhurst could return to the squad. Meanwhile, Fermartin have midfielder Gary Clark suspended following his red card last weekend, while Neil McVitie and Michael Ewan are doubtful for the league leaders. Keith take on Huntly. Keith lost 3-1 to the Black and Golds at Christie Park last weekend. However, they're without the services of 8 first-team players for the return game. Kinnaird, McLeod, Wood, Smith, McNamee, McCulloch, Loney and Jack are all missing for Graham McBeath's side. Huntly, meanwhile, welcome back skipper Grant Campbell from suspension. Lossiemouth take on Bucky Thistle. Lossiemouth have a doubts over defender Scott Wilson, while Bucky Thistle will be without the suspended defender Lewis McKinnon, who was dismissed in the Jags 4-0 win at Victoria Park last weekend. Strathspey Thistle welcome Rothes. The sides were out of action last weekend, having brought forward their first first festive derby to October to fill a vacant matchday slot. Rothes were 2-0 winners on that occasion, with Thistle hoping home advantage can work in their favour tomorrow. One more game to tell you about. Wick Academy tackle Brora Rangers. Brora came from behind to defeat the Scotties 2-1 at Dudgeon Park last weekend. Wick are without midfielder Craig Sheener, while a late decision will be made over the fitness of striker David Allen.
Thanks very much, Dave. And Andrew has the juniors. I suppose it will be weather permitting in some cases.
It probably will be, Dave. But there's a full card of PMAC Group League matches down for decision tomorrow. In the Super League, it's second against first when Banksadie take on Dice Juniors. Dice currently 6 points clear at the top of the Super League. East End play Devon side. Maud travel to FC Stonywood. Hull Russell United entertain Ellen United. Hermes play Bankery St Ternan. Longside play Cooter, and it's New Elgin against Stonehaven. In the First Division East, the Meadows at Ellen is the venue for Bridget Dawn Thistle against Fraserburgh United. Colony Park entertain Newmacher United. Cruden Bay play Park Vale. It's Glen Tanner against Lewis United and Sunnybank against Buckenhaven Hearts. And finally, in the First Division West, we see Bucky Rovers play Burghead Thistle. Fochabers travel to Inverness City. Isle of Ale against Dufton in a battle of the distillery towns. Nairn St Ninian against Port Gordon Victoria. And finally, White Hills against Forest Thistle.
Down south, after a busy Christmas period, the FA Cup returns as the big boys enter at the third round stage. The undoubted highlight is a London derby. Colin Beasley assesses the top ties for Friday Sport.
Much has been made of the importance placed on this great competition, with many managers seeing it as a distraction from their league campaigns. Arsene Wenger is one of those set to field a number of less experienced players, but the Arsenal boss is still expecting a cracker at home to Tottenham in tomorrow's late game.
Their confidence is certainly up. And therefore, you have two teams who play with full confidence and full desire to go through. Should be a very, very exciting tie.
Before that, Manchester City start things off at Blackburn in the lunchtime kickoff. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer takes charge of Cardiff for the first time when they go to Newcastle. The new manager says he won't be telling his team to employ negative tactics.
I want the players to express themselves. They love playing football. Want to run forward, want to play forward. That's my brand of football, style of football is forward-minded.
Of other all Premier League ties, West Brom take on Crystal Palace and Norwich host Fulham. An upset could come from Championship high flyers Burnley, who are at Southampton, but the Premier League side's assistant manager Jesus Perez says they're confident they can progress.
When you are winning a games, you are getting confidence. So just for this reason it's important, but obviously because we have a full respect for this competition and we want to reach the next round.
Among Sunday's fixtures, Manchester United welcome Swansea, top flight strugglers West Ham go to Nottingham Forest, Sunderland host Carlisle, Liverpool have Oldham and Chelsea are at Derby.
FA Cup there from Colin Beasley. And disappointing, Andrew, to hear the likes of Paul Lambert almost dismissing the FA Cup, you know, as being an irrelevance compared to almost an interruption for your league campaign. I think ask your average football fan, absolutely love both the Scottish Cup and the English Cup.
Absolutely. I mean, there's nothing better than cup football. And if you asked any fan what would they really like, and it's to go and see their club go to Wembley and lift the FA Cup. And I know what Paul Lambert's saying, but against his argument that it's an irrelevance and it's a bit of a disruption to the league campaign, and it's always a manager of a team who is struggling in the league that comes away with this type of thing. They have such huge squads nowadays that it's an opportunity to put a few people in, but you've got to give the competition the respect that it deserves. I mean, it's been in the go for a long time, more than a lot of clubs have been in the go, and I think that he probably regrets saying what he said, and I believe later on in the interview he sort of tried to come back and say, oh, but we're still determined, we're going to go and win it. We saw what happened last year with Wigan Athletic. I think they were the first club ever to win the FA Cup and be relegated in the same season. And they were the lowest ranked side to win the trophy in something like 30-odd years. But, you know, if you said to Dave Whelan and everybody that was involved in that day, would you rather still be in the Premiership or have your FA Cup? I think they would probably shade towards the FA Cup.
Yeah, your thoughts, Dave?
Yeah, well, Paul Lambert, I guarantee you, if Aston Villa were to reach the advanced stages of this great trophy, he would soon change his tune dramatically.
Yeah, I'm sure he would. To rugby now, Aberdeen Grammar are gearing up for tomorrow's home game with Kirkcaldy in the Caledonia Regional Cup. Here's head coach Kevin Wynas looking ahead to the game.
They haven't gone through the best of times. The pitch will level things off a wee bit.
Well, they will, again, not willing to underestimate anyone or write anyone off. They'll come with a bit of desire to beat a team above them in the leagues and to do well. I would imagine we'll be probably too strong for them over the 80 minutes. But, yeah, it'd just be good to get back into action, to get the bodies thumped about a bit and to get to get used to that contact again, you know.
Kevin Wyness there, good luck to Grammar tomorrow. Back to football, and as we heard in the news, just about the current problem, Dave, in football in Scotland in terms of the flares. Aberdeen, no different to every other club, trying to stamp it out because it's illegal, it's downright dangerous, and the person that let off a flare inside a pub, I mean, how dangerous potentially can you get?
I mean, that Dave, that is rank stupidity. That really is. That, you know, that could have had tragic consequences. Goodness knows what the ramifications could have been. Fortunately, nobody was injured. But, you know, there were a number of, smoke bombs let off in the shed end at Tannadice on New Year's Day. And, you know, we roundly condemned it, and quite rightly so, during commentary. Just stupidity.
Yeah, I was speaking to Bert Donald, who's a match commander down at Tannadice after the game, and he was saying seven different incidents. And again, it's just, as Chris Crichton made the very good point, it's the club that's going to suffer.
Well, that's the problem. I mean, this hashtag no pyro, no party, sorry.
Ridiculous.
It's just nonsense. It adds nothing to the atmosphere whatsoever. If anything, it stops people seeing the game properly. Settle for the fireworks that are happening on the park, and Aberdeen are producing that. So for me, that's good enough. We've managed to go through 100 plus years of league football without needing to have firebombs and, or, you know, smoke bombs and flares and stuff like that. If they want it in the continent, let them have it in the continent. We don't need it here.
But we're also trying to encourage kids to come to the game. And quite frankly, we've had plenty emails, etc., phone calls from people that are saying, look, they were scared, really scared when these things go off. So,
well, you don't know how they're going to go off. So let's just eradicate the problem. And if you're in the crowd and you see somebody letting off one of these, get in touch with a steward and tell him.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's just about your lot. Next week, Friday Sport will be live from Pittodrie, of course, because we've got the game against Hibs coming up. So it will be a seamless transition from the Friday Sport straight into commentary. Jim Irving will be giving updates here, Cove against Fraserburgh, and we, of course, will be down at Kilmarnock on Sunday. Come on, you Reds.